Nevada is about to get more than twice what it usually gets in federal housing trust fund grants. And that's good news in a state that faces a steep affordable housing deficit. But how far will $6.7 million go as families scramble for an affordable place to live? State of Nevada contributor John L. Smith joins us to talk about this and other stories he's following. John, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back, Joe.
John, this housing money announcement came from Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. How is this money usually used?
Used to rehab, basically, and maintain affordable housing. It also can help, in theory at least, provide extra affordable housing opportunities. The challenge, of course, in Southern Nevada especially, but in Nevada overall, I mean, there's a huge deficit of affordable housing.
Well, how big is this deficit? Is this a crisis?
Yeah, I mean, depending on your source, you know, it goes from about 71,000 units in arrears to almost 80,000. And by when I say that, these are places to stay that are affordable, apartments and homes. That's a huge problem. It's a challenge for families. It's a challenge for individuals and of low income.
One more thing about this money. So do you think these will be vouchers? Is that basically what the money is for?
It's grant funding. It goes to help patch and, again, repair things, rehab stuff. And it shows a focus on this issue. Clearly, Senator Masto's on the ball on this one. But beyond that, if you go by the dollar amount, it's a drop in the bucket. But if you look at it in the long term, if folks at the highest levels of our government and our representatives in Congress, I mean, if they're focused on this issue, Nevada really needs the help, and they need those eyes on the issue.
And you think this $6.7 million, twice the amount, several times the amount that we usually get, is a sign, perhaps, of better things to come?
I wouldn't overread it. I think a lot of people who are hurting are going to be looking for the new administration to make good on some of its promises regarding affordable housing. The leading candidates, Biden and Bernie Sanders especially, have talked about affordable housing and the necessity to kind of push this ball forward and start solving some problems rather than just pointing them out.
So what is affordable housing?
Well, according to Housing and Urban Development, they call it a place that is affordable if it costs 30% or less of a family's household income. So it's really about income and availability and affordability. So there's a lot of balls to balance there. And unfortunately, in Southern Nevada, we're showing that we are way behind the curve, even though we've got government entities working on it every day.
You mentioned vouchers. Great, more money coming from that. But the real key to this then is actually building affordable housing. And maybe 25, 30 years ago, there were federal grants that helped build affordable housing here in Las Vegas. There are a couple multi-unit apartments in Las Vegas, downtown Las Vegas, for that purpose. They don't get built anymore. Is that what we need?
Well, absolutely. You know, what it is that when something is on fire, all the water to help put it out helps, even if it's just a little bit of water. And that's really what we're talking about here. Nevada Hand is one of the organizations that focuses on this issue. You know, their statistics are really kind of staggering when you talk about the deficit of available housing to start with. And then from there, just what a family has to do in order to get into, say, for instance, a two-bedroom apartment. To be able to rent that, they've got to be able to come up with nearly $40,000 a year in salary. And that's about, you know, $18.59, according to this group, per hour you have to earn. Now, clearly, many Southern Nevadans earn more than that. A lot of them earn less. And the coronavirus pandemic has only exacerbated all those challenges for those people on the lower end of the scale.
Senator Catherine Cortez Masto made this announcement last week. How big of an issue is this for her as she prepares to run for re-election next year?
Yeah, this is an interesting thing. It's not probably the front burner. There are many big issues for a Senate candidate running for re-election. But the Democrats have made this one of their issues. They say that, you know, we're the party of the working class, of the middle class, and those who strive toward the middle class. At some point, you have to also, you know, produce. And this is an area that there's so much room for improvement, especially, you know, with Congress just passing a major funding bill. There's so much room for improvement that we can look all over our valley. We can look up north in Washoe and throughout Nevada in general. When you see the deficits in some counties, now granted, some of the counties have less population than others, But you see the deficits in affordable housing, it's really astounding. Sometimes it's 10 times more than the housing available and larger than that.
John L. Smith is with us. We've been talking about additional federal funding for affordable housing coming to Las Vegas. John, one of the more affordable resorts in Las Vegas has always been the Plaza downtown, and it's ramping up to celebrate 50 years.
Yes, indeed. 50 years. And I guess I'm one of the locals who remembers when it opened.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that.
Back in my day. The Plaza, back when it was known as Union Plaza, and then, of course, Jackie Gahn's Plaza, it's gone through some iterations and some growth spells.
And it was also known, by the way, as Biff's. Wasn't it Biff's in Back to the Future?
As a matter of fact, Back to the Future Part 2. You look down, now we know what you watch on television at night.
Yeah.
Reruns, apparently. It's got a colorful history. And let's not forget Nudes on Ice, the all-time favorite Vegas reference.
I didn't even know about it, but it's been interesting.
Nudes on Ice made a long appearance there at the Plaza. So, it's gone through a lot of transitions over the years, as downtown has as well. And under the new operating group, Jonathan Jossel's the CEO there. They're really looking forward to kind of celebrating this place that brings out nostalgia. And it's had its own little star turns over the years. You mentioned Back to the Future, of course, Casino, I believe, shot a scene there. And there were some things. If you remember Who Framed Roger Rabbit, there was a scene at the Union Plaza. So there are all of these little moments. And that adds up to some experiences for people. But then you've got the fact that it's a locals place, and it's a regional, you'd call a regional draw for gamblers and for people who remember downtown and really are more comfortable downtown.
How has that survived this long? What do you think that's made this place live?
Well, over the last decade, they've cleaned it up, to be polite. Now the bus station next door, I believe, has closed. You're going to see some more changes downtown. It always helps to have Circa, Derek Stevens' place, open. That's like a new beacon showing like there's a new generation on the scene now. So there's a lot going on there, in addition, of course, to Mayor Oscar Goodman's steakhouse and his own personality, which was really the driver of business to mm-hmm. that area. A lot of people who hadn't been there in that building in a long time went just because of Goodman's popularity.
You don't think Circa right next door is going to suck all the business away?
Well, those things have kind of work two ways. One, they tend to draw new customers. They might, some of your customers might go across the street. They might like it there, but people who are familiar and comfortable in a place tend to stay. But driving traffic downtown is really the big deal. And the new place is really driving traffic. You don't have to be an MBA to notice that. There are crowds going in there, and there's spillover all over the place, across the street, up and down the street. Wherever there's more energy, it's always good for the business.
Yeah, the crowds are already coming downtown. I mean, we've been in a pandemic, but we've seen a big change in the last 3 weeks. That's happening downtown as well?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's the new big sexy downtown, and people want to see it, and it's drawing a younger crowd, so there's a lot going on. And of course, with the kind of immense growth in popularity and legality of sports betting, that's a sports bettor's paradise.
So was the Union Plaza, when you were a young boy, the new big sexy downtown? I mean, what do you remember about it?
It was great, man. The pool on what I guess is the second floor that you always had a hard time getting into. Of course, you might have been able to sneak into it if you're crafty like a local. There's a showroom there. And over the years, it's had everything from Vegas farces, kind of fun-loving, frivolous shows, to all kinds of different things. It tried some things. Clearly, it was built by the old school guys, Jackie Gahn, Sam Boyd, Bill Boyd, Kel Housels Jr. These are like fill up the Hall of Fame with guys who created that and ran it for a number of years. And over the years, as I say, it's kind of rode a roller coaster. But under the new management, I think people are looking forward to mm-hmm. kind of a new day downtown, and they're certainly pushing it.
So finally, I want to talk about something else really off the casino track. There has been a pretty big transition at UNLV's prestigious literary institute, the Carol Harder and Beverly Rogers Black Mountain Institute. What if you could talk about that?
Yeah, just the bit that I know. Joshua Wolfshank was the executive director there for a number of years. Really dynamic character, brought a lot of energy to the scene. However, he has resigned and departed. It's unclear exactly the reasons for it, but an acting director is there now. And it's an interesting time for Black Mountain because, the pandemic struck everyone and kind of put everyone on their heels. But for organizations that were all about outreach to the community and all about making appearances, gatherings and causing that kind of synergy to take place. And when it comes to literature, certainly Black Mountain was that kind of hub. They had a really hard year. You can only do so much with Zoom and all of that. And so it was a difficult year, I think, for everyone. And this is a transition. Remember, this is a very, very high-flying literary institute. They've made the New York Times on a number of occasions. And it had a really quite a high profile. And he was certainly the profile of it for the last handful of years.
Very difficult year, but really well-funded. A $20 million gift. Several years ago, so.
Well, I could be frank with you. I don't know, and it's something that is intriguing, frankly. But I don't have a clear answer.
John L. Smith is a longtime Nevada reporter, regular contributor to State of Nevada. John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
This is State of Nevada.